I'm Leonard Lopate. Welcome back to my show. Conventional wisdom and cultural stereotypes tell us that prospects for a satisfying and sexual life for women over 50 are bleak. But Gail Sheehy's new book, Sex and the Seasoned Woman, gives quite a different picture. It's published by Random House, and it brings Gail Sheehy back to my show today. Hello. It's always
a
pleasure.
Hi, Leonard. I'm so happy to be here.
When you wrote passages about the stages of development in adults, didn't you stop at 50?
I did. Well, you know, I was outrageously young at that time. I was working on that in my mid to late 30s, and I interviewed some people over 50. I had no idea what they were talking about. They lived in a different world. So I realized I'd get it wrong, and I just have to leave that until I got closer. And I'm glad I did, because I would have gotten it wrong.
Well, 50 is the age when most women go through menopause.
Right.
So there's, for men, there's one kind of a problem with 50, which is, oh my God. But with women, there's a real physical change.
That's right. But you know, it's actually a benefit. And when I wrote The Silent Passage, I came to understand that, because women have to change. Their bodies are changing. There's no getting around it. There's a different whole, you know, physiological environment. And so you have to adapt to that. Okay, some women will just say, all right, that's it. It's over. I'm desexualized. But we're not moving into that grandmotherly, singularly grandmotherly role and taking up knitting anymore. We're, you know, somebody just called me now. I can't believe this. An interviewer just said, I'm so glad you're a granny babe. I love that. No, it's a good. I love being a grandmother. I'm proud of it. And I kind of like being a babe, too. And you can be both. And I'm in my 60s.
Although there are women who will tell you that they do lose libido after menopause. Others say they don't. So there seems to be something else going on there.
Well, there's a matter of committing to living a more passionate life. And that's, you know, the subtitle of my book is Pursuit of the Passionate Life. Unlike stages and passages of adult development, which happen anyway, this is a commitment. This is a choice. And if you choose to live a more passionate life after 50, one of the things you need to do is address the fact that everybody after menopause has some diminution in libido, but there are things you can do about it. And the Women's Health Initiative steered women really, really wrong at the beginning. They just, you know, doctors ripped hormones out of women's hands and, you know, home life went up in smoke for a lot of people because she had mood swings and night sweats and interrupted sleep and lowered libido and often uncomfortable sex. So now there's a more reasonable attitude about it. Doctors have gotten smart about putting women on low-dose hormones if they're really highly symptomatic for a few years. And then there's vaginal estrogen. And then there's it's very important for women who are alone at this time of life, but not so they don't give up on ever having lover sex in their life again, to practice self-stimulation.
Well, yesterday I talked to somebody who said that one of the last taboos is retirement, that people just are in total denial and they really do not prepare for their retirement. I get the feeling that most women don't imagine themselves as having a life after 50 until they are 50.
Well, I hope they will when they read this book, because it certainly tells you that, you know, life begins all over again at 50 for women in particular. Because, you know, the first adulthood for women is pretty much about pleasing everybody else, bosses, mentors, husbands, children. And then they get to 50 and they realize they're moving on to mastery. You don't have to please everyone. You want to please some people, but the rest can just go fly a kite.
I remember way back when Mick Jagger said something like, I don't want to be singing rock and roll when I'm 40, and now he's past 60 and he's still touring with the Rolling Stones. Something else has happened in the culture as well.
Well, of course, we have the first boomers turning 60, as everybody's going to be, you know, more aware than they want to, because boomers always take up all the space. But it's good, because there are celebrities that we don't think of as old, many of them, who are 60 and still rocking in one way or another.
But there's also a suggestion that he really hasn't grown up, or that people who listen to Rolling Stones records now, as they did when they were in their 20s, are refusing to grow up. Can that happen to women past 50?
I don't think there's a danger for women in that regard. I think women really do grow into a new identity. They develop a new ground identity, a new self. And one of the most important phases they need to go through after 50 is learning how to be alone with that new self. Because before they feel abandoned, before they lose a partner, either by choice or by widowhood or divorce. And they're, you know, women have an in and out work pattern because they're trying so hard to balance it with family life earlier in life. Now, in the 50s, is often when women take out a loan and start a new business. Their careers are taking off.
But it's also when they start talking about having their eyes done and things like that, because our society emphasizes youth so much.
But you know what? We now have models of women in entertainment who are turning their back on that. You've got Goldie Hawn. Diane Keaton, who says, well, I'm not having my face done because somebody has to look like 60.
I can't tell you how many people come in here who obviously have had work done.
Yeah.
Some it's done well, some it isn't.
And right.
It can
you
be rather it. Rather sad at times.
Yeah.
Because there's some desperation in that.
Well, you know, it's also happening with men. And I find that actually men over 50, the numbers that I did interview, not so many, for Sex and the Season Woman, for obvious reasons, a lot of them, especially if they're divorced, kind of floundering because they're often downsized or they're threatened with it any moment. They don't have a source of intimacy because that was usually the wife was the only one. They don't have anybody to organize their social life. They go to singles dances, but their expectations are they still want a beautiful blonde with a great body.
My guest is Gail Sheehy, whose latest book is Sex and the Seasoned Woman, Pursuing the Passionate Life. It's from Random House. You sent out a message on your website requesting responses from women about this?
Yes. I created a website, Leonard, for this book called www.seasonedwomansnetwork.com.
Did women like that, Seasoned Women?
They do like it because it's not old, it's not mature, it's not, you know, senior, all these, unacceptable words. Seasoned is kind of good because I define it as being marinated by life experience. And that sounds sort of juicy. But I want them to form their own local Seasoned Women's group and then go to the message board and see how to do the discussion guide and follow along with a group of women and have the kind of fun that the women that I interviewed did in groups.
Although we're not talking about seasoned women's centers. What effect does socioeconomic status have on a woman's potential after 50? Isn't one of the reasons women can look forward to a fuller life, at least some of them, because they can afford it?
Yeah, absolutely. And most of the women I interviewed were still working. They had become independent financially. It might have been as a result of a divorce and going back to school and starting a career. That's a sine qua non. You really have to be able to take care of yourself in order to have the full range of choices that are available because of being 50. There are women who are still dependent and feel that they can't get rid of the loveless, sexless marriage because he's the provider. But they actually can start at any time. It's just that they have to be willing to give up the comfort for a while.
And then there are some women who find themselves poor and abandoned.
Absolutely.
Anyway, or maybe they never really got married and never had that situation, and here they are older and less likely to be found attractive by somebody who they might want to pair with.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Leonard. That's another kind of myth. I found that women who'd been never married were often much better at creating flourishing lives for themselves because they had to, and they obviously had to work because they were on their own, and they're often more self-sufficient and able to, nourish themselves than long married women who've been dependent on one man as a provider.
You've compiled a list of questions women should ask themselves in order to make the later years of their lives more meaningful. Where should someone start?
Well, I think start by reading the book, but I think
buying the book at Barnes & Noble.
It would be great. I mean, I interviewed women in groups, and what I found was once the first fire starter, blurted out the first shocking statement, you could not shut them up. They were so eager to talk about the choices and the opportunities in dating and sex and love and revitalizing their marriages because nobody ever asked them before.
But isn't it difficult to reinvent yourself at that stage? If someone was risk-averse at 30, is she likely to throw caution to the wind at 50 or 60?
Well, if ever. If she's ever going to do it, that's the time to do it. Because, just kind of pick up a what-the-heck closing time joie de vivre. I mean, what are you waiting for? What are you saving yourself for?
Well, I guess in many cases, because people are surprised to find themselves in these life-changing situations, a spouse dies or there's a divorce or something else happens.
But that often is the catalyst. You know, you can't just stay pickled in the same brine. One man told me yesterday that he was very upset when his mother, at 70, having lost her husband, took up with another man. And he said, I just couldn't stand the idea that my mother, my father's wife, was able to have another love relationship and, heaven forbid, a sexual relationship. And finally, he said, my mother sat me down and said, your father died. I didn't.
Well, the conventional wisdom is that most divorces after the age of 50 are initiated by men in search of younger women. So, and since there are more women surviving men, although that's changing, I think that women are dying at ages similar to men nowadays.
Well, no, there's still a 5.5 year longevity beyond men's end for most women. But the first fact that you mentioned has changed radically. It's now divorces that happen after age 40 are primarily initiated by the wives. Why? Because they can. And it's usually for a very serious reason. He's a chronic abuser or alcoholic or womanizer, or they just haven't had any emotional contact or sexual contact in some years. And she now sees, my gosh, I have maybe another 40 years left.
And the children have just left the home, also gone off to college.
That's exactly right. That's the trigger for many, many loveless marriages.
So anyone who stayed in a marriage for the sake of the children now has leeway to rethink her life?
That's right. But, you know, jumping to divorce is not the answer either. I think that the most important thing that a couple can do when they're taking the last child to college is to plan a fabulously romantic vacation. And if the spark, a chemical, you know, the chemistry was ever there, they can reignite it.
You talk about Terry McMillan's experience, as she described it, and how Stella got her groove back. And then she was ultimately disillusioned by that relationship.
A much younger man who
yes.
she found was really exploiting her because of her fame and the money that she was making as a result of being a famous author.
Well, how often do we find older women with younger men? Not everyone is Demi Moore or Terry McMillan.
Well, it's happening much more. Some studies say that one-third of women over 50 are dating younger men. I certainly found it to be not uncommon, let's put it that way. And actually, I've talked to a few women who have formed long-term relationships with that young pilot light lover who they thought was going to be a transitional figure, but it turned out they shared a passion. That's the key. They shared a passion for antique planes. He was her flight instructor. So that's the way they live.
Well, you're talking about women as being seasoned, but can a woman who's been in a passionless or sexless marriage for years rediscover her sexuality? I mean, hasn't she already kind of lost the seasoning?
Well, what I found, I thought that was the true too, but I found it was quite different, that there were women who had become what I call status quo or seekers who were just dissatisfied or who said, I've been there, done that, not interested in marriage. And then maybe 10 years later, they suddenly said, wow, I'm 60. I don't want to just depend on my work to be the centerpiece of my life. And after all, passion is the generator of the life force. So they put themselves out there. They try internet dating, or they look differently at the young man who sits next to them at church. And once you're open to it, something will happen.
But we're suggesting that a man is still very important in all of this. Should a man be all that important?
They're not necessary, as Maureen Dowd says, but they're awfully nice.
You're not going to have a child with a
no,
man after a certain
absolutely.
Age.
Absolutely. Well, it's a very different set of wants and needs that women bring to this stage in terms of a male companion. Many of them do not want to get married again. And many of them find, even if they do move in with the new loved one, it blows up because they're so unique now, and they've collected so much life experience, and it's expressed in the things they have around them. It's very difficult to homogenize that. So it blows up. They go back to living in their separate domiciles. They see each other again, and then the love springs back. So it's a very different way. It's not about children and family. It's just about you and him again. And you may find many different ways to have a life together. Women don't want to be in a man's pocket or defer anymore.
By the way, you can find an excerpt from Gail Sheehy's new book in our reading room through quick links at WNYC.org. Ms. Sheehy is a contributing editor to Vanity Fair. In fact, has been there since 1984, and the author of a number of best-selling books, Passages, The Silent Passage, New Passages, Understanding Men's Passages. Her latest is called Sex and the Seasoned Woman, Pursuing the Passionate Life. It's published by Random House, and it's been such a pleasure talking
with you. It's always a delight to be with you, Leonard. Thank you.